It's good to be with you this morning. Actually, I pastor in the little town of Riverside, which is not really a town. Kind of is. Most of our people come from Omak, Okanagan, Tenasket, Conconally, River, you know, all over the place. So we have about five, six communities that come to our big barn on the hill in Riverside. Anyway, and I am what's called an executive presbyter or a regional leader, whatever you want to call it, and been doing that. That means I'm over three areas in our, and one of them is yours. So I end up coming around here every once in a while, just checking on things, but I've never spoken in this church. That's a first. Been here a few times for different things, but never spoken. This is the first time. Anyway, been pastoring for 15 years. Before that, I was an evangelist for 30 years, which I enjoyed, and my kids still miss, even though they're grown up, okay? They like the traveling. I thought they wouldn't, but they really miss the traveling, and we used to travel all over the United States, so they got to see a lot of different places. When they traveled with me, I had a big 36-foot fifth wheel, and I'd pull it around. Yeah, did that for a lot of years because I had the boys. It was funny. It's kind of fun, though. Pastors would always try to hook us up right away. One pastor, you know, they don't usually have RVs, and they wanted us hookups. They want us to hook up at the church, so we're hooking up at the church. He spotted this hookup that looked like an RV hookup, but it wasn't, okay? What it had was 220, and my RV was not 220. It was 110, 120 or whatever we want to call it. But anyway, I'm not an electrician. When he plugged that in and flipped the breaker, our trailer lit up brighter than it ever had. Every light bulb in the place would whoop out, you know, and blew up. And my boys were in the middle of playing, I think, a Nintendo game. TV fried, Nintendo fried, everything fried. But God is good. God replaced everything. And so, yeah, God takes care of us. Amen? He does. Even the little things like video games. Yeah. But I wanted to talk to you a little about something that's on my heart because I deal with this with my church all the time. It's kind of my focus as a pastor. We are called, every single one of us. Now, see, I was called to be a pastor. Well, not a pastor because my dad was a pastor. So I decided at an early age I would never be a pastor. I told God I will never be a pastor. And so when I graduated from high school, I went to Northwest, but I started a Christian rock band, traveled around, did that for a while, had long hair. Anyway, hard to imagine now. Did a little bit of youth pastoring, and God took over my youth group. I was youth pastoring for my dad in Tenasket. Youth group grew like... Okay, when you have over 100 kids coming to your youth group and there's only 250 in your high school, you're doing good, okay? It wasn't me. It was a God thing. It was one of those things where God just takes over and people are getting saved. Kids were getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were witnessing to other kids, and it blew up, you know? And pretty soon I had, you know, all the cheerleaders came, all the basketball, football, they were all coming. It was amazing. And so that's what got me to be an evangelist, because people started going, well, how did you do it? And invite me to things, and I'd go, I didn't do it. You know, how do you take credit for something you don't do? I mean, if people get saved, it is never a person, it is always God. Amen? Always. It's always God. But God has called us to be a part of that. And that's a huge thing. In fact, there's a scripture in Matthew that talks about this. I really should talk about my family. My wife isn't here this morning. She's at my church, but she's not preaching. My oldest son is preaching. He is my associate, and he's a really good preacher. In fact, someday he'll probably retire me if the church wants him. Matthew 28:18, though, my youngest son, better not forget my younger son, who still lives at home. I don't know if he'll ever get married. Plays the congas on Sunday morning. He's a conga player. He has his, it's so funny. My oldest son always wears a bow tie. I never wear a bow tie. I'm in tennis shoes, jeans. My shirt is never tucked in. My wife says I'm a slob. She has tried to change me to wear cowboy boots, something a little bit dressier. I can't do it. I'm sorry. It's just me. Okay? God made me, and I'm comfortable. I hope you are. Zach is the total opposite of my oldest, who wears the bow tie. You know, he wears a knit hat, has a goat, looks like a... Well, I always give him a hard time. I call him my druggie. He's not. Okay, he has got a passion for Jesus, but that's what he reminds me of, a gamer druggie, okay? But he loves to play the congas on Sunday morning, so that's what he does, and helps out in church. So that's my family. I have two grandkids now. One is 5, just started kindergarten. She's amazing, smart, brilliant. Then I have a 2-year-old boy, Martin, who is just crazy and reminds me of me. Okay? My problem was I had ADD as a kid. So when I was sitting out there with my mom, I almost always had to sit by my mom because I couldn't sit still. Was constantly wiggling, couldn't shut up, still can't. So that's my problems. So let's get to it. We're going to be in Matthew 28, and you probably know the scripture, a lot of you do, because it's where Jesus lays out our responsibility. In Matthew 28, starting with verse 18, in the ESV it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So Jesus himself called you. He called you. You will stand before God someday for what you did with the call. You're not going to stand before God for what somebody else did with the call. Just you. You alone will stand before God and answer to the call that God laid on your heart. What you did with what God gave you. Which is, all of us have been given. I get a kick out of people because people play this game all the time. You know, you ask for volunteers. Is there anybody here that likes to volunteer? One. Yeah, that's usually the first question. What am I doing? Okay? And usually, there's a volunteer right there. Anyway, usually when I say what it is they're doing, this is the answer. I'm not gifted in that area. That makes me want to choose them. You know why? Because then you'll lean on God and not on you. Because see, that's exactly what we're supposed to do, is lean on the Holy Spirit and not on ourselves. It's not, if I lean on me, I'm just going to be me. But if I lean on God, I've got a whole lot more going for him. And he can do everything. So when somebody says, "I'm not gifted in that area," my thought is, you don't want to do it. That would be the truth. But God has called us all to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. So we've got to do something. You know, we've got to. I learned this at an early age because my dad wanted me to learn responsibility. How many here, your parents taught you responsibility at an early age? There's quite a few of us. parents aren't so good at this anymore. You know, it's just true. But when I was young, my parents made us take jobs. I mean, the first job I ever had was picking apples, which I don't know if you've ever picked apples or pears. Pears are the worst, but apples are just, you know, we picked apples, we thinned apples. I learned how to drive tractor early, but the first job I had that was a paper boy. Okay? Some of you have heard this story, but I thought I'd go way back. Okay? When, as a paper boy, it was sort of in Tenasket where we grew up, where my dad was pastor. My dad made us take the paper route. Every single one of us at some time during that time, if you didn't get a Wenatchee Daily World in Tenasket, it's because a Weaver boy didn't deliver it. Because we owned the Wenatchee World in town. I mean, I have three brothers. We all delivered papers. So when it was my turn, it came open and I actually got the biggest route of all my brothers. There were more houses up there is why. And so I was kind of excited, you know, because my older brother was making money and I thought, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, I was 10 years old and I was going to deliver the news, you know, so I started out on my paper route, and I decided I'd use my bike because I was a huge bike fan at the time. Liked to do wheelies, had a wheelie bike. I was really proud of this thing. Anyway, got about, I don't know, about five houses into the paper route. And that's when I discovered dogs. The first dog was a poodle. Not a little poodle, one of those standard poodles, never been shaved in its life, uglier than sin. And its name was Pepper. And Pepper was a hiding dog, which means you didn't see Pepper until it was too late. So, you know, I came up to the house, put the paper on the porch, started to walk away, and I heard the sound that still bugs me to this day. You know, that deep, rumbly sound. And I whipped around and saw Pepper. As soon as I whipped around, he came out of the bushes fast, running right at me. And I did the worst thing you can do. You know what that is? Run. You literally say, eat me, when you run. I am bait. You know, as soon as you start running, it's the worst thing you can do. You got, and God didn't gift us to fight backwards. We can only fight forward. We can't even defend ourselves backwards. We're just like, pick a spot to bite, you've got it. As soon as you start running, because all of us know you can't outrun a dog. So I took off running toward my house, leaving my bike, all the newspapers, running toward my house. He caught up with me, ripped a big hole in my jeans and into my leg, and I ran all the way home, ran in the door. I said, Dad, I quit. And he goes, why? And he said, because I found out what happened to the last paper boy. He was eaten. And I showed him my leg, and he patched me up, and he goes, one thing we don't do is quit. You need to get back out there, only you need to discover a way to defend yourself. So I thought about it a little bit, snuck back to my bike. Pepper didn't notice me. I pedaled off, and I thought I was safe for the rest of my paper route. Got halfway through, and I met the second dog. Doggy was not a hider. He was just downright aggressive. As soon as you came in the yard, you were open season. That was his name, too, Doggy. Doggy was not a describable dog. He was generic. He was a Heinz 57 dog, okay? He was everything. So Doggy was probably a really good name, you know, because he was just a dog. And Doggy just came running at me, but I'd learned from the first dog. And Doggy was about this big. And when I got down with my newspaper bag over my shoulders. I got down like this, and when Doggy came up to bite me, I shoved the paper bag in his mouth. And of course, he didn't like that, but I had a paper rolled up in the other hand. As soon as I shoved the paper bag, I went bam with the paper, and he'd back off, and then he'd come again. And I'd push the paper bag in his mouth, and bam, you know, hit him with the paper. And that happened a few days. And then he stopped bothering me. The worst dog on the whole paper route, though, was a Chihuahua. I still don't like Chihuahuas. This Chihuahua's name was Tiger. I thought he was aptly named. And I have discovered, and this is my feeling on Chihuahuas, that if they were big, there would be no human beings left on the face of the earth. Unless you are related to that Chihuahua in some way. Okay, you're a family member. You've been accepted. That's the only way you're going to make it. Anyway, Tiger wanted a piece of me right off the bat. And as soon as you put the paper on the porch, he would come running. Chihuahuas don't really bite. They pinch. They're irritating. And that little bark, I mean, you know, I mean, it's just rapid fire, and they're after him. And you can try to get away. I couldn't hit him with the paper. He's too quick. So he'd pinch me, and I was just getting ticked. I mean, day after day after day, Tiger would harass me. And I started thinking there has got to be a way to get Tiger. And about now, you're wondering, what in the world does this have to do with the sermon? Okay, getting there. Tiger, you know, lived. His house was like... It was an older house. It was built on the hillside. So when the lawn came to an end on the edge, it was like a 6-foot cement wall on one side that just fell off to the road. And I thought, you know, if I can stand next to that edge when he runs at me, if I'm quick enough and can jump to the side, maybe Tiger would run right off that wall. And 6 feet... is a long drop for a Chihuahua. I thought maybe that'll teach him a lesson. So I started working on this because the wall was a little bit from the porch. And so every day I'd get closer and practice throwing that paper up on the porch, because as soon as that paper hit the porch, that was the sign for Tiger to come. So every day I got closer and closer to the wall till finally the day happened. I was ready. I was going to get Tiger. I saved Tiger's house for last, because I was excited. I'd waited for this moment for months to get Tiger. So finally got to his house, got to the edge of the wall, threw the paper. It landed. Here he came, just like always. It was perfect. I went like this right at the last second. He ran smack off the wall, and then he hit the ground and went, and I went, yes, yes, take that, you little runt. And I turned around, and the owner was standing on the porch. There's not much you can do when you're caught in the act. But, you know, being 10 years old, 11 years old, I came up with something as quick as I could, which was, oops, he slipped. But I think it was the, yeah, yeah, take that, you little runt, that gave me away. And the lady gave me a speech that I've never forgotten. She said, Vern, now, back then I was Vernie because I was little. Vernie, when you took this paper out, you took on the responsibility to deliver the news and leave. That's your job. My job is to take care of the dog. You should have just came and told me. And I was like, well, yeah. Here's the deal. God gave you a responsibility to deliver the news. But because of the dogs of this world, the things that you don't like dealing with, you just don't. Or you get so busy in life that becomes your focus instead of delivering the news. And so you don't. You leave it up to somebody else, somebody that's been called to do that, or blessed by God, or anointed by God to do it, not just you. Not understanding that God placed you where you are to do what only you can do. Every single one of us. And those words from her name is Mrs. Leggett, ring true to my mind all the time. if you'd just deliver the news, I'd take care of the rest. If you just do your part, God will always take care of his. See, the problem is, if you look in the Bible, every man and woman that was ever used of God, they weren't like majorly gifted people always. I mean, man, the disciples, a lot of them were fishermen and, you know, a tax collector. It had nothing to do with the gospel. Yet God chose them. Why? Here's the big thing. Because they were willing. They just said, here I am, Lord. Use me. Just use me. I don't care where you put me, what I have to do. Use me. See, that is the big thing. And of course, God didn't also want you to do this job by yourself. You know, because it's a big responsibility. He didn't want you to have to carry this all by yourself. He didn't. So he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is awesome. I was filled with the Holy Spirit at 8 years old, okay? So I've been filled with the Holy Spirit for a lot of years. I was at a youth rally because when you're a pastor's kid, you're at church, period. At least I was. I don't know about all the rest of you, but I can speak for me. If we were sick, we were at church. We had to be almost dying to miss church. I'm just telling you. And one time, I got grounded. Now, if you get grounded as a teenager, you didn't get grounded from church. You got grounded to more church, okay? I had to go to a ladies' quilting party. I was grounded to that. That was just delightful as a teenager, I have to admit. I think the youngest person there might have been 60 besides me. You know, and so I'm sitting there going, and they go, want to join us? We could teach you. And I'm like, it's okay, I'll just watch. You know, and they were laughing because they knew why I was there. See, we had to go to church. Church was, when I was a youth pastor, some of my parents would ground their kids from church. I'm like, what in the world are you thinking? You know, you never ground them from playing in the football game, but you'll ground them from church? What's wrong with you? What are you thinking? My parents believed that God changes lives better than anybody else. He will affect you better than anybody else. He will cause you to be the person you want. You would love him to be, but you have to put God first for that to happen. And too many parents drop the responsibility of raising kids. Sorry, don't mean to be hard on parents. I've been after my boys. Both of my boys are serving the Lord, which is awesome. If you can raise your kids and they follow Jesus, boy, you can just thank God. Because I'll tell you this, this is what happened with me as a parent. I went, Jesus, help me. This is way out of my league. I didn't go, God made me for this, for such a time as this. Instead, I was like, man, how do I be an example to somebody who lives with me 24/7? And so I've challenged my oldest son, who's now a dad, Ty. It's a 24/7 job. You want your kids to grow up to follow Jesus, then you need to teach them what following Jesus is. That it is. And dads, can I just say, you're the big gun, because God called you to be the spiritual leader of a house, not the backseat driver, okay? I go just because my wife makes me. I'll just kind of share my wife and I. My wife is her own person. I can't tell her to do anything. I can't. And I wouldn't. I mean, she loves things I don't love. It's like God put two opposites together. Okay, I'm very outgoing. She was shy. So speaking in front of people has never been her thing. Never. She loves kids ministry, but not adults. Scared to death of speaking in front of adults. And I asked her why, and she goes, because adults are mean. And kids aren't. Kids are just honest. And it's true, kids are honest. I love dealing with kids. They're a blast. I love teenagers. Teenagers are fun. When I hear parents complain about their teenagers, I'm like, I'm praying for you, because you should never complain. They're gone too quick. They're all grown up. They're gone. You got to love every moment, because suddenly they're just gone. Except for when you have a 30-year-old still living at home. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not bitter. I'm just joking. If Zach heard me, he'd be embarrassed. Anyway, it's okay to say it when he's not here, right? Okay, you're saying no. Okay, I'll be quiet on that. Anyway, so Jesus said this, okay? I love how Jesus sets everything up all the time. In Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 4, and while staying with them, let's talk about Jesus, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still having problems with what they'd been taught their whole lives, that when the Messiah comes, he's going to rescue them from the Roman Empire. But that wasn't God's plan. And Jesus' answer is, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be, what is it? Witnesses, right? You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to empower you to witness. Everything else that the Holy Spirit does isn't as important as that. That is the main event. The Holy Spirit empowers us to go, to do, to be a part of what we can't do, what we're not comfortable doing. He empowers us to do it. At a young age, I discovered that. I discovered the power of the Holy Spirit. It was something that divided me from being a part of my school. I couldn't be involved as much because there were things that, there were conversations, there were things I didn't want to be involved with. Why? Because I wanted to please Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit that starts doing that. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit that does that. So the Holy Spirit began at a young age calling me to follow. And so in middle school is when the change really started happening. I used to get teased for being short. You didn't notice I was short, did you? Thank you. No, I'm short. And I'm fine with it. When I was young, it was not something I was fine with, okay? Because my younger brother was taller than me. When your younger brother is taller than you, it doesn't matter that your mother is always saying, don't worry, someday you'll pass him up. She lied. It didn't happen. I'm still shorter than him. I ended up being the shortest in my family. Okay, I took after my mom, who's about right here. You know, so even though I was taller than her, I didn't catch up with my dad or my brothers. They all passed me. So I was bothered by that. I was made fun of in school for being short. I heard every name in the book. And it really bothered me for a while till about middle school when I realized I don't care anymore. All I want to do is follow Jesus. So you can call me any name in the book. They noticed it didn't bother me anymore. So they stopped. And it changed my freshman year in high school to a different name. I had never been called short after that. In middle school, it stopped. High school, suddenly, I was Brother Weaver. I'm serious. The whole high school, 250 students called me Brother Weaver. Hey, in fact, they'd even do this. Hey, Brother Weaver, what's the word of the Lord for today? You want to get a chance to preach? There it is. Man, I'd go John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I'd talk fast because I knew they were going to run. They would always run. They want to hear it. And so after a while, they stopped asking me what the word of the Lord for today was, because I was going to share it. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'd preach it. I mean, if somebody's going to ask you, you might as well do it, right? I wasn't afraid. One of my best friends, though, through school was a young man named John who was raised by his grandparents because his mom, to be honest, had never married but had a lot of kids out of wedlock, couldn't deal with them all, so she would ship them to different people. And even though his mom lived in Yakima, he was raised in Tenasket by his grandparents. John was small like me. We became friends. John was not a Christian, not a Christian home. His grandparents were Christian, never went to church. But, hey, we would talk. And I'd always invite him to church. Might as well. Never came. Until my senior year in high school, one Friday afternoon, he looked at me and he said, "Can I come to church with you Sunday night?" And I went, "No. No, I didn't do that." "Oh, of course. Of course you could come. That would be awesome." That Sunday night, John showed up. And I led my first person to Jesus Christ at that altar that night. I will never forget it. That started something. Because the next Sunday night, some of his friends showed up. And next thing I know, we had the whole basketball team there, and they gave their hearts to the Lord. I mean, God started moving because I did something that was, I was the only kid in my senior class to not go on the senior trip. I noticed they were printing false ID, because in Vancouver, Canada, you can drink at the age of 18. And I noticed that even my church friends were printing the fake ID. And I'm like, this is not good. I can't go. I was the only kid who never went. And we were the last year our school ever allowed a senior trip, because every kid on that trip got drunk. I didn't go. John came to church the following Sunday, gave his heart to the Lord. It started everything. John, 2 years out of high school, got cancer. John died at the age of 20. I remember sitting across from him the day before he died in his grandparents' house. He's too sick for a doctor's, gave up, couldn't do anything, he was home. Couldn't talk. He was literally a 20-year-old skeleton. I'm serious. And I looked at John, I'm just talking because he couldn't talk, too weak. I said, "John, you ready to meet the Lord?" And John went, "I'm thankful that God helped me to stand to this day." So this last year, I had an opportunity to do the same thing again with a different guy. I got invited. My wife she jumped in to be partners of a business that my wife has always liked, redoing old furniture. And I tease her because she redoes old furniture to make it look old. That doesn't make sense to me. You know, you paint it, and then you sand it, you know, so she roughs it all up, and you're like, what in the, why do you do that? Why do you paint it and then make it look old again? But people buy it, you know, so I guess it works. So she got involved in this, and she partners with a bunch of ladies. I think it's like 14 all together have a place in this store. And Tua, she has become the most popular person to hang out with. Two of those ladies are really, okay, they're rough. You want to hear some language? You can go in there. I mean, those ladies, the F-bomb is normal. They don't know. It's just the way it is. But one of those ladies, not too long after she started there, her husband got cancer. This man has never been to church in his life. I got invited to his house. I'd never met him before. This lady goes, I want you to go talk to my husband. He needs Jesus. She didn't even know Jesus. I thought that was funny. He needs Jesus. And I'm like, don't you? You know? But so I went. Never met this guy. Introduced myself. How you doing? As soon as I walk in, my first thing when I meet somebody and I'm at their house is I'm looking at stuff. Okay? If I have ADD, so my eyes go like this all the time. But when I walk into somebody's house, I'm like, okay, I can tell, you can figure out really quick what people like by just looking around. And I'm looking around and I noticed what was on the shelf really quick. I said, you read Louis L'Amour? And he goes, what? I said, yeah, it's on the shelf, Louis L'Amour. He goes, I got them all. And I said, so do I. I've read them all. He goes, you're a preacher and you like Westerns? Yeah. You know, I've read every Louis L'Amour book there is. And he goes, wow. And so we started talking Louis L'Amour. We didn't even talk Jesus for the whole conversation until right at the end. I said, can I pray for you? And he's like, he shared he was using medical marijuana, you know, and he even brought it out and showed me, you know. And I was like, interesting, you know. I don't know what to say. You know, I just, well, that's interesting. I've never done marijuana in my life. I've never drank either. You never drank? No, never had alcohol, never smoked, never done marijuana, never done anything but Jesus. And he goes, and so I asked him, can I pray with you? And he paused, and he looked at me, and he goes, okay. So I laid my hand on his shoulder. I prayed for him. I prayed that God would heal him. But I also prayed, Lord, this man needs to know you more than he needs a miracle. He needs to know that you love him, that he is important to you, that you died for him. I went through the whole gospel almost right while I was praying. And when I finished, I said, it's nice to meet you, Jim. He shook my hand, and I walked out the door. What I didn't know is this. As the wife tells my wife later. He told his wife, he said, when that man laid his hand on my shoulder, he goes, I felt something go right through me. He goes, I think I'm healed. He goes, I don't know, something hit me. The next Sunday, they're in church, both of them. I'm like, that is so cool. I mean, I was just like, wow, you know? And he asked Jesus to come into his heart. 2 weeks later, he was in heaven. God didn't heal him, but he healed him. And see, that's the main event. You and I were called to reach people. See, I might be a pastor, but I love people. And every day I ask God, use me somehow to reach people, because people need Jesus. It is the main event. It's why you were born. It's why you're in church today. It's why God saved you, to reach people. He gave you that responsibility, and he also gave you the power to do it if you'll just accept it. and be one of those willing, like in the Bible, that says, here I am, Lord, send me. Just use me. Just use me. I don't care how, where, or why. Use me. Amen. Can we pray really quick? Heavenly Father, right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask. Jesus, you have called us. You've called every person here. I don't care how old they are, how young they are. You placed a call on us, a responsibility that we will stand before you someday and you'll ask what we did with it. What do we do? Lord God, help us. Help us, Lord, to pick up that responsibility and to run with it. Help us, Lord God, to be about the mission that you've called us on, that we won't be satisfied with where we are, but Lord, we will run with it. Lord, we see the world and we see the times that we live in, and time is short. Lord, what are we going to do about it? Lord, we were born for such a time as this, that we would change our world. Lord, help us to be about changing the world, that we're not satisfied with the status quo. We need to do something more. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that, Lord God, you would call us and we would answer and say, yes, Lord, I will do it. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. One more story. I have a lot of new Christians in my church. I mean, some of them are rough, have rough edges. Okay, you're gonna, if you come to my church, you might hear the F bomb. You might hear the S word. And I'm not talking about shut up or anyway. In fact, I knew what kind of crowd I had when, during a Bible study one time, somebody said something and I heard a lady over here go, well, that's a bunch of them. And I was like, yes. I don't know about you, but I want them in church. I do. I don't care. God changes people, not me. I can't do it, but he can. And if they're coming to church, then God's working. That lady gave her heart to the Lord later. She's an RN. That RN started her own Bible study in her home with doctors and nurses coming and just played the video that a lot of you watch about Jesus. What's it called? Come on. The series? The Chosen. Yeah. She started playing it, and then they talk about it. Out of that Bible study, she led a doctor to the Lord. Two other nurses to the Lord. They started coming to church. One lady who never called to the ministry, but felt a call to do something. Just started a Bible study at her house. And God took it and used it. See, church, God called you and he placed you where you are with the job, with the people you know, with the neighborhood you know, on purpose. It's not an accident. God doesn't do accidents. He's forever on purpose and on plan. God doesn't get surprised by anything. I get a kick out of people. People in my church are always saying, I bet you God would be surprised if I did that. I'm like, no, God's not surprised. He knew you were going to do it all along. Church, I want to challenge you this morning. Be the one. Don't wait for somebody else. Be the one who picks it up and says, I'm going to do something. So, Lord, here I am. Please use me. Please. Maybe you can ask your pastor, what can I do? Is there something I can do? Or maybe you can just start, like this lady, she didn't ask me. I found out about it later. She started a Bible study in her home. I was like, cool. That was a rough crowd at her Bible study. I was like, that is awesome. That is just awesome. And her, she won her sister, her brother. I mean, all these people started coming to the Lord because of her. Because Jesus got a hold of her. Church, let Jesus get a hold of you. Amen? Amen. Can we all stand? See, I didn't ask how I could end this. Do I? Yeah. So I'll stand up here since I get shorter when you all stand. I want us to bow our heads if we could. I want us to take a moment. And I want you to be honest before God. See, I have people that tell me like this. I notice some older faces out there. I hear them say, I've done my part. Let me just tell you something, older generation. As long as your feet are on this earth, God has a plan and a call for you. You're not done. No retiring with God. Okay? There is none. Serious. Till the day you go home, God's got a plan. It might not be what I'm doing now, but he's got a plan for me. And he wants to use me. My grandpa was winning people to the Lord till the day God took him home. And he broke horses for a living till he was 72. And then he went and lived in Linwood, Washington, and won his neighborhood to the Lord by doing chores for people. Because he was good with appliances. What can you do? How can you get to know your neighborhood? How can you make a difference? Maybe you work with people you could invite over and introduce them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God called you. So with our heads bowed, I just want to ask us this morning. First of all, let me pray. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us right now, to every heart and life. Lord, doesn't matter where they're from, what they've done, what their past is. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak. Speak. And help us to hear. Open ears that aren't listening. Open ears to hear your voice, God, in the name of Jesus. And place a call on us this morning to be doers and not just hearers. That we'll be about your business to the day we go home. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With our heads bowed, I just want to ask if you just feel the Lord talking to you this morning, you just feel like the Lord's calling you to do more this morning. Would you slip up your hand and say, that's me? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bunch of us, come on. Thank you, thank you. That's awesome, that's awesome. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Could you lay a hand on a neighbor? Just lay your hand on a neighbor, come on. Put your hand on a shoulder. If it's your wife, that's okay. If it's a friend, that's okay. Put a hand on the shoulder next to you. We're going to pray for everybody. I want you to pray that God would use them. Amen? Let's do that. I want you to join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, use them. Use everyone in this room, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord God, they would hear the call of God and they would answer and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just as Isaiah said, yes, Lord. Just as Jeremiah said, yes, Lord. Just as Ezekiel said, yes, Lord. And Daniel and David. And Lord God, just as Paul did, Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us right now in our generation to say, yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, Lord God, help us, Lord, to answer the call. And say, Lord, I will be about your business. I will be about your business. No matter what I have to do, no matter where I have to go, I will do your will. And I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.